We get things underway on this Thursday afternoon by talking football. And to do that, we turn to Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Rich. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well. I understand it's a little steamy down your way.
It's always a little steamy down in Florida. we only get like 3 weeks of winter. And it's not really winter. It's more like spring and fall combined or something like that. So, yes. So hot down here.
Well, it's perfect. We only get 3 weeks of summer, so we're a great match.
That's whenever I talk to my coworker Sam Herder, who's from the Fargo area and now lives in Minneapolis, weather is always an interesting topic because of the contrast of where he lives and where I live, and I think the same goes for you, Rich.
You better believe it. Well, let's talk, before we look at this week and some of the key games, let's look back at a crazy week in FCS football, and a lot of it taking place right in the CAA where upsets abounded, but also an impressive victory for James Madison, and, well, you've been saying it all along, but they seem to have distanced themselves from at least the rest of the CAA field.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is I might fine-tune that a little bit because Villanova looked pretty darn good considering they were missing Justin Covington at running back, who I think only 2 or 3 weeks ago was leading the nation in rushing. And they didn't even have him against James Madison's awesome defense, and the game was good midway through the fourth quarter. So Villanova is legit. And when they're at full strength, because Justin's not missing for the season, it was, I think it's a 1 or 2, 3 week thing, something like that. When he's back at full strength or even three-quarter strength, I think that changes Villanova to, you know, obviously make them even stronger. So I think those two programs are two potential seeds, to be honest with you. They both look pretty good, and I got to see them in person, actually. So pretty good game on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. You were down at Harrisonburg. That's a pretty cool place to watch a game, isn't it?
It really was. And that's, you know, why I missed your show last week is because I was literally up in the air and couldn't figure out a way to do that. But yeah, we went up there and it was a sellout, and it was a crazy atmosphere. And I tell you, anybody who thinks FCS football doesn't have that level of atmosphere has not seen a game in Bridgeport before, because it's a pretty impressive experience.
Yeah, it sure is. Back to the CAA, and I officially give up. I have no idea what Delaware has got after they got pasted by Elon last week.
Yeah, well, I think the whole league is a pile of spaghetti at this point. You don't know where it begins, where it ends. I mean, they keep chopping each other up. You know, I think right now, as of this week, I guess that's how we have to talk about it. You know, Albany certainly looked good this past weekend. New Hampshire's 3-0 in the league. Elon had a nice win. Richmond's doing things. It's crazy. It's not going anywhere near what we thought we would see in the preseason. The CAA, I think, is just a smaller version of what's going on in the FCS right now, which is it's really hard to track once you get past the, I'd call the really high-end cream of the cream. I mean, I think between, you know, the 5th and 35th positions, just about anything can happen. And this past weekend in the CAA proved it. So,
North Dakota State clearly sending a word out there that they belong at the top. Another big win over a ranked opponent as they convincingly defeated Northern Iowa.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, they really know how to regenerate a roster. You know, I added up all their missing starts based on graduation, and it was, I want to say that really they had 6, 7, 8 full-time returning starters to this lineup, and it just doesn't seem like they've missed a beat at all. But I do think, their hardest two games are ahead of them. I think the trip to Youngstown State, and I think the trip to South Dakota State in the next, not this weekend, I think this week it's Missouri State, which they're struggling. But the next two games are both on the road, and I'm telling you, if NDSU wins those two decisively, you know, it's unquestioned who our number one seed is, you know, no matter what James Madison does the rest of the way. But, yeah, they look good once again.
Was Sacramento State the biggest surprise of last week for you?
Well, I've had them on my poll ballot now for about 3 weeks, and I don't know – I don't know that it was a massive, massive upset. I was a little bit of a surprise because it was in Bozeman, you know, with Montana State. It just turns out that, you know, Troy Taylor came over from Utah. He's an offensive-minded guy. And, you know, he was a coordinator at Utah, and then he was at Eastern Washington back in 2016 when they had Cooper Kupp and Dave Grubrud was getting rolling. I mean, this guy knows how to put the points up on the board. And if you remember last year, Sac State couldn't score. They just could not score. So there was like 21, 22 a game. And that doesn't fly real well in the Big Sky. Well, this year they're getting close to 40 a game with the same kids. I mean, think about it. So they're pretty darn good and look like a playoff team at this point.
We're talking with Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports. Well, let's look at some of the big games from this week and stay right with Sacramento State. Can they do it again at home against the Grizz?
Boy, isn't that the big question? How good are the Grizz? You know, I mean, right now, I think most of us see them as a top five team, but this one is in California. Now, my understanding is the Sac State atmosphere isn't quite a James Madison atmosphere. So, you know, will it be an intimidating place to play for the Grizz, who also has an intimidating place to, you know, host a game? I don't think that's going to be a big factor, but this one could be a real offensive shootout when you think about Kevin Thompson at quarterback with Sacramento State, and then Dalton Sneed is just crushing it for the Grizz. So, is this going to be like 45-42? Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at all. And I'd call it kind of a coin flip type game, to be honest with you.
I'm very intrigued by this one because the Citadel is another one of those teams that's been very up and very down at times this year. How do you think it'll play out as they take to the road against Furman?
I think it's a little less of a tall order, to be honest with you. Even though the Citadel holds the only Power 5 win of the year at the FCS level when they beat Georgia Tech. But you're right, they've been a little Jekyll and Hyde, and I don't quite understand it. Some of their losses are teams that look a lot better now than maybe we thought they were going to be, like a VMI. VMI might have their best team in 35 years.
Oh, yeah.
Continues. I mean, they're really playing good ball. They could go to 5-3 this weekend. You know, so losing to VMI doesn't look as bad as maybe it did a year ago, you know. But Furman is just a machine. I mean, it's probably the best Furman team in over a decade. You know, Clay Hendricks is a Furman grad. He came here from the Air Force Academy, put him in the playoffs his first year in 2017. They probably should have been in the playoffs last year, but lost the game because of hurricanes. And their only two losses are to Virginia Tech, which they almost won, and Georgia State, who had the week previous had just beaten the Tennessee Volunteers. Mm. So that's all Furman's lost to. And both those games, they were winning in the fourth quarter. They could so easily be 6-0 going for 7-0 this weekend against the Citadel. So keep your eye on Furman out of the SoCon. They might be a legit factor this year in the playoffs.
Finally, I think the most intriguing game in the Colonial this week are those New Hampshire Wildcats, off to a very good start, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
3-0 in the conference down at Delaware. The Blue Hens really have to have a victory in this one, but I like New Hampshire's chances on the road.
Yeah, I think that's it's an interesting game because, you know, New Hampshire, as you know, being up there, you know, they started off their season falling at Holy Cross. And what did we know about Holy Cross at the time? Not a whole lot. Now I'm starting to think Holy Cross might win the Patriot League and make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They look like the best team in that group. So they lost by 3 to them, and then they lost to an FBS team, FIU, Florida International, down here in Florida. They came down to Miami and lost by 13. They are now on a 4-game winning streak where they're really not playing. They're not giving up a whole lot of points. And it's not like they're playing the soft underbelly of their schedule either. I mean, Duquesne made the playoffs last year and beat Towson. New Hampshire beat them. They beat New Hampshire beat Elon. They went on the road to Stony Brook to beat Stony Brook. Not bad for the last one, you know, and starting to look like a, you know, potential playoff team. So, but Delaware has looked better than we thought they would look. So what are we going to get on Saturday? That's a great question.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I'll find out sometime around Saturday night, like everybody else. Brian, we appreciate it. Always good talking football with you. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll check in again next Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
It's Brian McLaughlin, Hero Sports, talking FCS football with us here on Downtown